Several weeks back before Christmas, actually around Thanksgiving time, we're going to continue on. This is the second message of the what and why of demons and demon possession. Some people have the idea because we're not in some dark corner of the world like Haiti that voodoo's very present, or in the depths of South America, where they have Palimyombe and Santeria and all those kind of things, and in Africa where they got Kondumble and a lot of demonic religions there, they think that there isn't a lot of demon possession and occult stuff going on in the United States of America. There's nothing that could be further from the truth. With the advent of the Harry Potter series and a lot of the demonic movies that have been released, our culture is plunging back into an age again of demonism and demon possession. With the revival of Native American religions and African religions, a lot of that focuses around idolatry and the occult and demonism. The problem is, it's been cleaned up and scrubbed up, and it's called the New Age. But New Age religions are nothing more than candy-coated occult. I'm alarmed at the high incident of schools incorporating yoga into their curriculums. There's some who use the exercise stuff, but it's very hard to separate the spiritual from the yoga. There's four or five different types of yoga that are there, and a lot of it in the yoga, they are teaching the children to calm down by transcendental meditation. Friends, that is the occult. I don't care how you slice it. You can turn it upside down. You can turn it sideways. But you still have the occult. Just because I don't preach on it, I know that there's some people who come in surprise because for 20 years I was a resource person for cults and the occult, even for law enforcement and for medical and psychological professionals. I did a lot of that. I spoke on it about 40 times a year in different places, did programs, television, and so on. But one of the great problems with the situation is that it's become so acceptable as a part of American religion now that people don't hardly wink an eye when they hear about some of the things, unless it's the great deep hideousness. You know, it all starts on a relatively mild level, and then people are drawn into the occult little by little, because Satan first transforms himself as an angel of light. Satan's not going to come out all at once in all of his hideousness normally. So he comes out as an angel of light and a messenger of righteousness. And you get the people who are writing books, A Course in Miracles, and then it's revisions, and it's just filled full of lies in deceit in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. But A Course in Miracles has even been taught in some Baptist churches, and some people, I get stuff all along. In the past 3 months, I've gotten at least four correspondents taking me to task for exposing the Course in Miracles and calling it occultic. I just wrote back and I says, I believed what I wrote then, and it's still just as true today, even though the course has been revised and added to. It's teaching a different Jesus. When Satan can transform himself an angel of light, let me know. I want you to know, Satan will be about anything that you want him to be at the outset. And so we started talking about, gave you a definition of demon possession. As we began our studies some weeks back, it says it's a condition in which one or more evil spirits or demons inhabit the body of a human being, sometimes animals, sometimes objects, and can take complete control of the victim at will. And that's from Unger's book, Demons in the World Today, page 102. And the purpose of demonic forces is to confound God's purposes, to blind the mind of the unsaved, and to promote the worship of Satan, and to be able to advance his cause in the world today. If you can't see that there's spiritual wickedness working in high places, then you got your blinders on. It's working in high places all around the world. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me, and we're going to look at the origin of demons, if you would, in Revelation chapter 12. We go back to the book of Revelation, the last one. By the way, it's not Revelations, it's Revelation singular. And in Revelation chapter 12, and then we're going to look at verses 3, verses 4, and verse 9. It says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven crowns upon his heads." And then it says this in verse 4, "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour the child as soon as it was born." And then look at verse 12, or verse 9 of chapter 12. "And the great dragon was cast out." It's identifying who it is. "The great dragon was cast out, the old serpent," the serpent of Eden, "called the devil and Satan." You pretty well see who he is, all right? It says, "which deceived the whole world, was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." My point is, this is where we come up with the fact that the demons are the fallen angels, are the devil's angels, the third of the angels, which followed Satan when Satan rebelled against God. Some of these angels are so wicked. Some of these angels are more wicked than others, but some of these angels are so wicked that they're already restrained, and they're imprisoned in the underworld, in the portion of the underworld, or Hades, called Tartarus. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 4. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, says, "For if God spared not the angels which sinned, but cast them down to," and then you see the word hell. You circle that word and you go to your Strong's Concordance and you'll see that that is the word Tartarus, a.k.a. the bottomless pit, if you would. They are cast down to Tartarus. All right. It says, "and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto the judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Some of these angels are very, very evil, very wicked. They are restrained already because they had part into some horrendous things. And let's turn to Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude. Jude 1 and verse 6. And it says in Jude chapter 1 And in verse 6, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, their own boundary, their place of their abode, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. I believe that's the same angels that we see spoken of back in 2 Peter chapter 2. And now, there's a number of good Bible scholars who are going to agree with me in the next thing that I say. And there's a number of good Bible scholars who do not agree with me in the next thing that I'm going to say. And so I wouldn't ever make any doctrine on this, but I want to explain some things to you. I've talked to you about this before, but looking at verse 7, it says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. See, the angels left their first estate, and I believe that when the Bible is talking about the sons of God coming unto the daughters of man, that you have evil angels who married human women. And I believe that that's one reason that God sent the flood, because then you had, as I've told you before, there's sometimes a nugget of truth in mythology. Like you have Hercules, who was a superman, you know, part man and part God. Just because it says that angels neither marry nor are given in marriage, that doesn't say they're sexless. It just says that God's angels didn't marry or they weren't given in marriage. And so you can do with that whatever you want, but I believe that it was these wicked angels that was one of the reasons that God brought on, not the whole reason, because the thoughts of man's heart were evil continually, but that's one of the reasons that God wiped out the corrupted human race, because as a result of that union, it says giants were born of that union between the sons of God and the daughters of men, and I believe that the sons of God were the angelic beings. But to make a long story short, the origin of demons are I believe that they're the fallen angels, and there's some of them that are so wicked that they're reserved in Tartarus. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. In Matthew chapter 25, and in verse 41, it says, It's a tragedy, but you know that hell wasn't originally made for men and women. It was made for the evil angels. It says Matthew 25:41, as we read here, it says, then he shall say also unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was originally the provision for the devil and his angels. Now, I don't know that they're the same ones, but there are some particular heinous demons or fallen angels that we read about in Revelation chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. So if you'll go with me to Revelation chapter 9 and verse 14, it says this, and it could be the same ones that we have read that are in Tartarus. I don't know for sure, but it says, saying to the sixth angel, which had a trumpet, look at this now, loose the four angels that are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year. And look at what they do. These four angels. Don't think that angels are fluffing meringue. These four angels, during the tribulation time, they slay a third part of the population of the world. The devil does not like human beings. Why? Because we're God's special creation. We can be saved. The angels had a one-time choice. Either follow God or follow Lucifer. And a third part of them decided to follow Lucifer. And their choice is set for all eternities. Angels look at amazement with the plan of salvation. And God's angels rejoice every time somebody is saved. And believe me, the devil hates human beings. He walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the word devour there means to swallow up whole. It's more like a snake, if you've ever seen a snake grabbing its prey and then just swallows it down whole. He wants lots of company in the lake of fire, where there is going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We see a little bit about this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 through 45. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, in verse 43. And I'm going to answer a question. You haven't asked it, but I have been asked it often, and I have people call me, not so much regularly anymore, but at least four times this past year, people have called me and asked me to do an exorcism on them. You know, they have revived that office in the Roman Catholic Church now. They have. I don't think it was ever completely dormant, but they have reinstated it now. But let me read this passage of Scripture warn anybody against that, because I've had Christians come to me who say, you know, we're demon-possessed, and how do we take care of this? Well, you see, you can give place to the devil as a Christian, but if you resist the devil, he has to what? Flee from you. And you resist the devil by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the Scriptures, commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says, when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man. So I have no doubt that perhaps demon spirits could be exorcised, cast out, if you would. And it's real big in certain charismatic groups to cast out demons. Some cast out the demons of post-nasal drip. And I kid you not, for everything. They can cast out a demon for everything. I got a big file of stuff in charismatic churches where they cast out this demon and that demon and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, perhaps a demon could be cast out, but I'm not going to mess with it, and I'll tell you why. If a person is unsaved, see, I don't believe that a saved person can be demon-possessed. Demon influence, yeah. You can give place to the devil. But look at this. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through a dry place, seeking rest, and findeth none. 12 and verse 44. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. You know, it's all cleaned up. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it also be unto this wicked generation. Here's the deal. When I've worked with people who were demon-possessed, and I have. I get a bunch of people praying for me, and I pray that the Lord will make them lucid enough to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because when the Holy Spirit comes in, the unholy spirits have to come out. But if the unholy spirits are cast out and it's not replaced with the Holy Spirit, we have scripture, and I've seen it happen. I've had parents bring me people who have been to charismatic exorcists and things settle down for a while and then get much worse as time goes along. And I believe that that is what has happened. The evil spirits come back with a vengeance. See, a person needs to be under the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sins. So, the devil, he likes to be in charge. He likes to control. He likes to manipulate. At first, he might come as your friend. And I've also told you this, that just about every time that I've dealt with in a situation that deals with the occult and demons, there's always either drugs or alcohol involved. Because a sorcerer, translated in the New Testament, you know what the underlying word for sorcery there is? Pharmakia, from where we get our word pharmacy. Believe me, I see the devil hard at work as they start legalizing marijuana in our country. Our country is going to the devil. Because marijuana, oftentimes, it's been proven by research, is the first step to much harder drugs. Oh, I've never smoked marijuana, so I have no idea. I've never been drunk. I've only taken one sip of alcohol in my lifetime and then spit it out back in Central Michigan days. But the point of the matter is you see how they market alcohol? It's always with a good time. I can never figure that out. Some of the big fat-bellied drunks, I never see them running around with these bikini girls. I mean, nobody's taken a second look at them. I mean, a tragic illustration is what drugs do. I've seen it firsthand in my own family, is my brother. My brother and my cousin, unbeknownst to my parents, got involved in drugs at junior college. And my brother, who was a genius, the best job that he's ever had in his lifetime is washing dishes in two restaurants. And today, tragically, he's in a psychiatric halfway house because he blew his mind on drugs. Now, just recently, he has told me that he has trusted Christ as his Savior. I don't know whether that's genuine or not. He said that he did that a number of years ago because I supposedly led him to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was younger. But that was before all the drug stuff, so I don't know, and I still pray for him real regularly. But you see, I see people using excuses. First it was the medical marijuana. And now, you know, oh, our courts are so overloaded, and they are overloaded, that we should legalize marijuana. And then the next step is they're going to be legalizing immorality. And you'll have places like you do when I was in Amsterdam. You have the red light district in Amsterdam. And you know what? That's the demons. That's the devil. Because he's in the business of making it look so good at first. And then once he gets his hooks in and is in charge, the devil is a terrible taskmaster. We'll see in our next message that when somebody is involved with the occult and demons, their focus is on death. And you know what? You look at a lot of the movies and stuff that are put out. Our culture is preoccupied with death. And the Bible says, all that hate me love death. And that's an indicator of demon activity in a culture. If you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lusts, the desires of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. As I look all around, I see our culture moving back into a demonic dark age. There's so many people who do not even know what the Bible is. They've never read it. Oh, maybe they've heard Psalm 23, but they don't even own a Bible. And so in that spiritual vacuum, man, whether you like it or not, is a spiritual being. And if you don't fill that vacuum with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, then I can assure you that the unholy spirits will fill that vacuum. That's what's happening in our culture now. Man, oh man, we need revival, friends.